Hey, you want that to go?
It's time to take out some cash, so to speak. And for those who wonder where the regulators and the regulations were when the economy tanked, there's a new plan in the works. The president will unveil it at 11:45 a.m. Eastern Time. The idea is to give the government more control over the banks. That's the idea, anyhow. Louise Story is back, quick as the Acela, finance reporter for the New York Times. Good to have you with us again, Louise. Tell us about this proposal. What do we know about it?
So we only know a few details, Miles, but we know it's focused on the size of the banks and the amount of risk they take. And, of course, this is the biggest criticism from the crisis, that these banks not only got so big that we had to save them because they were too big, but also that they were taking too many risks. They were trading for their own books. They were investing in mortgages, when what they're supposed to be doing is taking your money, holding it safely as deposits, and doing the instrumental kind of pipeline banking of the country.
Oh, what a quaint notion you have there.
What a quaint notion. But, you know, that's what, in the Depression, when we had, you know, a similar crisis, there were these laws created known as Glass-Steagall that split up the banking, the traditional pipeline banking of this country, from the trading. And that was all repealed in the late 90s so that banks could do both. And that's one of the things that some people think got us into this crisis. So today, with this announcement, we'll all be listening for how much will this take us back to a separation between regular banking and trading. You know, and
well, maybe we should listen to the lessons of history here. Who's been pushing this?
Well, the interesting thing is that Paul Volcker, you know, who is a former chairman of the Fed, has been pushing and pushing publicly since the fall that you should really rein in the prop trading at these banks. It's the prop trading that leads to
prop trading, meaning
proprietary trading, okay, trading for your own book. And that's what leads to a lot of the big bonuses and payday on Wall Street that you're seeing now. Excuse me. And so it's very interesting. He's been pushing for it. Obama hasn't been listening. I think this could be a major shift in the Obama administration. Remember, they put out a full...
Well, it's a shift in... I mean, Larry Summers was part of the crew that deregulated.
That's right. Larry Summers, a top economic advisor, deregulated this in the Clinton years. And I would have loved to have been on this conversation with Obama and Volcker recently, where Obama says to Volcker, I know you've been pushing for this all year. I know you've been pushing. I didn't do it last summer when I proposed financial reform, but okay, Volcker, you're right. Let's do it. Let's rein in these
banks. Elizabeth Warren has specifically endorsed that proposal this program. That's true.
All right.
The oversight person on the TARP. All right, thanks, Louise. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our takeaway sports contributor, is watching the football this weekend. And, you know, everyone loves, all of a sudden, the New York Jets.
We thought we had a great chance, you know, to make it to the playoffs, but Atlanta found a way to win.
That's Coach Rex Ryan, who thinks the Jets are the team to beat. He's actually saying the goal of the Jets is one thing.
Collectively, our team has one goal, one focus, and that's to try to win the Super Bowl.
So Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, sports contributor, you've got Rex Ryan with a sad face there in that first cut, and Rex Ryan with a very happy face, and some would say a kind of delusional face looking forward to the Super Bowl.
That's funny, a delusional face. The entire playoff run that the Jets have made could seem potentially delusional and dreamy, and that's exactly what the Jets need to do. That's one of the things that they need to beat the Colts.
Yeah.
They need to be a little bit in the clouds. Now, I'll tell you, they need to do three or four things that will guarantee them a win. Number one, they need to score over 20 points. If they don't score over 20 points, the Indianapolis Colts will surely score over 20 points, and they'll stop them quickly. The other thing is that the Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez has thrown interceptions this year at critical moments. They need to stop that. That cannot happen. He threw one interception last game, but in the past 4 or 5 weeks, he's been very excellent, actually, in that arena. And part of it is because they don't make him throw in very tense situations. They run the ball so much. So there's two other things. The Indianapolis defense is a porous run defense. Their main people are pass rushers, and they come from the outside, like Dwight Freeney, who I told you earlier in the season was a key to the Colts winning, getting this far. Now, they're not great on the run defense, and that's where the Jets have a strength. Their offensive line is going to push them off the ground, and that will be a strong – Sean Green is going to be excellent for them. The other piece
– Are you saying the Jets are favored? That's not what they say in Las Vegas.
In football terms, in football language, the Jets have a really – the matchups are really excellent. And the other matchup that's good is that the Colts wide receiver core is not as good as the Chargers, who the Jets beat last week.
All right.
They're a bunch of rookies, and the Jets have amazing cornerbacks and defensive backs. They have a strength. strength in their defense and in their running game, and they can beat the Colts this weekend.
All right, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen.
You know, it's a rematch of Super Bowl III.
That is true.
You know,
true.
Joe Namath should be out there doing the coin toss.
That's interesting. Good call. Yeah. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, talking about Jets versus Colts this weekend, also the Vikings versus the Saints in the other big game. Our last takeout comes from our listeners, right?
Yes.
This is Sam calling from Philadelphia. I'm very frustrated with the way things are happening. And with the healthcare bill, it looks like the politicians are more interested in making a name for themselves than they are in what's good for the country.
We've been hearing what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE and by email, mytake@thetakeaway.org. Was it really a referendum on healthcare, on politics in Washington, maybe?
I'm an independent, and I'm calling to say that I think the reaction that we're seeing around the country against Democrats has to do in large part with the fact that health care is being treated far too politically. It's just too important to be rammed through without agreement on both sides.
Like most people around the world, I am just shocked that Americans are so opposed to health care reform. I think what Americans have is called the Stockholm Syndrome. In this case, the American people are the hostages, and the hostage takers are the large pharmaceuticals and the insurance companies.
Do you feel like a hostage? What's the message from Massachusetts? Lewis emailed us. They should keep the 60-vote rule in the Senate, he writes us, but the filibuster rule should go back to speaking for 24 hours. Congress makes everything too easy for themselves. Today we're asking you about the loss of the Democrats' filibuster-proof majority. Does having less than 60 votes mean that Congress can't pass health care? Should the rule change? You know how to reach us. 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.